We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We got to play something on Roma Dunze that's going to ingratiate himself to this show's audience.
I'm really into stand-up comedy. Really like Kevin Hart, classic Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Cat Williams. I just watched one yesterday. Oh, I love Shane Gillis. Yeah, big stand-up comedy guy.
I have come to reclaim Rome for my people!
Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in and talk stand-up comedy with Roma Dunze, who is on the same flight to Detroit with Caleb Williams.
How the hell?
Yeah, it was on a plane from L.A. to Detroit, Tanny. It's happening, boys.
I think they might take Roma Dunze at number one. I would.
Bears. Cole Komet and the Bears.
I think Roma Dunze is going to be a Bear, and he's going to catch passes from Caleb Williams, and it's going to be glorious.
That's not even a real wide receiver room. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, that's not real.
Everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it, but I am telling you right now that is not real.
With Caleb Williams throwing him the ball? And those
well,
guys
we're
just,
not so sure about him yet.
And those guys just going out to stand-up shows and then just averaging, what do you think, 30 a game?
Danny, you saw me at one of the comedy shows. Shane's a big ND fan, you know, a Bears fan as well.
Probably. I love worshiping 22 and 23-year-olds, dude. It's one of my favorite things.
It's the Bears.
I love these children, man.
I get older. They stay the same age.
This is different.
And Williams throws it downfield. It's a touchdown, Odunze!
We want it now!
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We got the band back together. Spiegs is back. What's up, sir?
So Roma Dunze loves stand-up comedy, caught passes from Caleb, along with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
And was on the flight to Detroit with Caleb.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's certainly possible. Or they could trade down. Let's talk about that for another 2.5 months. Or one day. One freaking day, dude.
We drive to Detroit tomorrow with Ryan Porth, who mocked me. After that Odunze segment, and said, well, what if my Titans take him at 7? I said, well, then I'll be upset, Ryan. I don't want that kind of energy in that car,
hey man,
to Detroit tomorrow.
As long as the porta-potty makes its way onto the top of the car so we can have two at the Airbnb, I'm cool with whatever.
We still just have one.
Damn it.
We still just have one.
There's a backyard, though. If you want to take a dump in the backyard, go
hey
for
man,
it, brother.
Let's build our own outhouse. And that Detroit will thank us for leaving an extra bathroom.
I'll bring a bucket.
Perfect. Perfect. Then we'll be prepared.
Yeah. Tanny, you sure you don't want to come?
And this outhouse that we're going to build, it's going to be no new taxes for you guys out there, all right?
Yeah.
What about friends of the outhouses who don't want an extra one put in a backyard in suburban Detroit?
Praise hey, why don't we float the outhouse on some kind of pond in Michigan?
Yeah.
Is there going to be enough parking for everyone who's going to want to use this outhouse?
Dear God, I don't know if you ever attended the draft. I don't know.
I just would like to thank God for Detroit.
Oh, man. It's a bad look for people who actually believe in God. You know what I mean?
It's tough. I believe you.
It's tough out here for people who like God.
Sure. Again, I'll just a little disclaimer.
Yeah.
I am not mocking religion. I am mocking that use of religion.
That use of religion.
Praying to a stadium.
Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please?
Man, that's too bad.
Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for today.
So many things to pray
today
for.
Today that our city desperately needs your help with. Yeah.
Make it about hungry.
14 acres.
Make it about hungry people.
We need 14 more acres.
Make it about starving and homeless. Please.
For about a couple $1 billion. We just
and there's a race to who gets to our young people first.
We're going to save
the streets or us.
Yeah. That was the other thing that I don't know that they got to. I don't know if you guys know this. The stadium's going to save lives.
Oh, boy.
It's going to save lives. Praise be.
I mean, I would choose the Bears over the streets.
Well,
I mean,
now that Caleb's there.
God.
It's going to save lives. It's going to be good.
God forgive them.
Yeah. Because they're not building new green space in communities that don't have it. They're just building a little bit more on the lakefront. It's very confusing. But hey, Craig Counsell's the manager of the Cubs.
Daniel Burnham.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Burnham is not the manager of the Cubs.
No, he isn't. We got a polls position mock draft at 3 o'clock. We got surprises. We got praying to do.
Can we take a preacher in the mock draft?
Our pets' heads are falling off. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Please welcome the manager, number 30, Craig Counsell.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins, you know what I mean?
Craig Counsell.
My thought on Craig, as I've always watched him against us, was the Bum Phillips quote where he said he'd take his and beat yours and yours and beat his. And that's kind of how I felt sometimes watching him, that he was just getting the most out of the team.
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Counsell gets into one to right. His teammates call him Rudy, and Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Two-time World Series champion.
So now it's Counsell who carries the run that could win the World Series as he leads away from third. A liner off Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Danny Parkins decided, Craig Counsell, that interviewing you was secondary to his life as his best friend is getting married today in Kansas City. Can you believe that, Craig?
Yeah, I know where I stand.
It's good to learn that.
Yeah, I mean, as you're building new relationships, very important to learn that, yeah.
Craig Counsell with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Craig should be with us in a matter of... he's there? Oh, I don't see him on it. My bad, my phone's not updating in here. My apologies. The manager...
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, Craig, that's on me. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, thanks.
All right.
Danny's hurt about the new relationship
thing,
you know?
Yeah.
It's a tough start.
I'm sorry I missed you last week, I guess, 2 weeks ago. They went.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. Yeah, I missed you too.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, you know, open bar.
How was the tone in my voice there? Was it real? Did it sound real?
yeah, that was not the most genuine thing I've ever heard.
No, I thought that was good.
Oh, God, it's warm and fuzzy around here. Well, let's see here. You got this long stretch of games coming up, and we're hoping that the injury news doesn't continue to pile up. Do we have an update on Cody Bellinger and his battle against the wall?
Yeah, unfortunately, we did a CT scan this afternoon or this morning and revealed fracture in Cody's right rib. So we're going to put him on the injured list, and kind of unknown yet as, in terms of like when he'll return. But obviously, tough news.
Man, I mean, you starting to feel snake bit by the start of this season?
No, I mean, you just. These things happen and you just process it and move on and move to the next thing you got to do. There's nothing, you know, this is a freak injury. There's no reason to feel snake bit. You just move on.
So what's the corresponding move?
Pete Crow Armstrong's been called up, and he's on his way here.
Okay.
Wow. This is big stuff. A lot of people excited for Pete. That's for sure. But back to Cody for a second. He stayed in the game, said he didn't feel it at first. That's a weird one to grow into something that severe. Is he just that strong, or is this one of those funky injuries that can grow in that way over the course of a night?
Well, I mean, you know, anytime these things happen, like there's an adrenaline thing at first. And, you know, I think it's kind of normal, actually, that as it maybe went on a little longer, that it started to get a little worse. He's actually dealt with something like this before. So we'll just kind of progress and see when he's symptom free and then start to move some baseball activities forward.
You've talked about the balance of kind of development and playing time as Pete comes up. Is it important that he plays as much as possible, or is he just going to be a piece of what you do?
No, what's important is that we're going to put the best lineup out there every day, and if Pete's involved in that, then he'll be in there. If it's in a different role and maybe off the bench or play defense, then it'll be that. So we'll look at the matchups and figure out the best way to try to put together a starting nine and go from there.
You know, I said snake bit, and I knew that was probably a dumb way to word it. The team strikes me as being very resilient, and maybe it's just you have no choice. There's a game the next day. You have to keep playing. But in your experience, is that a trait or a learned trait of a team, the ability to face adversity, not hang your head, and keep playing good ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think you realize that to be at your best, you have to, you know, that has to be your behavior. And that's from an individual basis and kind of from a team standpoint. But in our game, the results come at you so fast that you just have to continue to turn the page. And the game teaches you to do that. And sometimes we have to be reminded of it, but it does teach us that the best just continually turn the page. Of course, you learn from, you know, your experience and what happened in the game to try to improve your game and improve your performance. But you also know that there's such, if you don't turn the page, the emotional roller coaster that the game can put you on, you know, hurts your performance. And that's, I think we do have players in this team that are very good at that. And of course it helps.
You talked about it all spring, and especially at the end as the roster was trimmed down to size. Going to need everybody over the course of a year. But, I mean, here's Mervis up, PCA up, Wesneski's been up a couple times, Little down and up. Is this amount of roster churn, is it possible that it's a positive at this point in the year in terms of all these people getting a chance to come up and get a feel for what you'll need all season long?
Well, it's just, in my experience, it's how a season works. You need 50 to 60 players to get through a major league season. You know, in our situation, we do have, we think, young players that are, you know, especially that are going to get experience here. And when they get experience, that's going to help them, that they're going to be better players for that experience. And so that's been a positive. And I think we've seen that. You know, I think Ben Brown's been a great example of that, of a player that just the experience is very much helping him. And so, you know, hopefully as young players continue to get more experience, yeah, they improve as players. I think that's a big part of this.
We're talking to Craig Counsell, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. Cody Bellinger, the CT scan reveals that he broke his rib, and Pete Crow Armstrong is the corresponding roster move. There also was, of course, the news of Kyle Hendricks going on the IL. Do we believe that the problems with the command and the results are a result of the back problems?
Well, I don't think we know exactly what's going on. I mean, he obviously had some issues kind of before in his first couple starts as well. So I think they're not going to help, certainly. And it's going to be harder to fix issues when you're dealing with injuries, for sure. But you know, I mean, we Kyle had kind of starts that where he was symptom free. So it's hard to put it on all that.
You talked about when he gets through the injury, Craig, you and the rest of the org kind of putting your heads together and helping him pitch better, essentially have better results. What's it about, you think? Is it about kind of the velocity discrepancy between his changeups and his fastball? Is it about the pitch shapes? Do you have any idea what kind of stuff in a general sense you'll be looking at?
Kyle is such a unique pitcher that I think it sometimes makes it harder to address kind of when things go wrong, because we don't have, you know, as many other examples of problems created and solutions created around the league, which is what, you know, everybody goes to. But I think because he's unique, you got to go back to kind of what is he unique at? And he's unique at, you know, an ability to command the baseball is truly what he's unique at. And that means that trait has to remain at the same level that it's always been at. So I think that's, you know, that's probably number one. You know, now how do we get there? I think that's kind of the harder question to answer.
Do you have any theories?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, in the end of this, it's Kyle executing his delivery. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's really, you know, that's, we can have delivery cues, and then it's Kyle going out and executing the delivery.
Man, that has always seemed to be his kind of superhero trait, is like the repeatable mechanics. I think of it when I'm playing bags, Craig. Like, I think of it when I'm playing cornhole. Like, all right, can
that's a good comparison.
Well, I think it always has been, right, Danny? It's like, I want to be the Kyle Hendricks of bags. I want to approach exactly the same way. And like, he's always been able to do that. Does that get harder as you get older and your body goes through more?
Well, I think you'd be a better example of that than Kyle, then, wouldn't you? You'd be able to tell us that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you're. It's a good point.
Yeah, can you tell Craig, please, how you get the repeatable mechanics?
You know,
this would be good.
It's funny, Craig, I've started
as
going.
As you get older,
I've started going from the stretch when I do bags. I've not done the full windup for the most part. I'm limiting my steps. Is that why some pitchers are doing that, you think, to mirror me in bags?
I can tell you I have no idea what you're talking about here. I have no idea about the mechanics of a bags delivery.
Okay.
Right. So you've lost me a little bit.
Okay. I understand. Well, he's just, how can you get him physically back to repeating that delivery? It's got to be such a difficult thing when he's so good at it to begin with that it's lost. It's got to be crazy difficult.
Well, I mean, this is sports. I mean, this is like the, you know, it's how you get really good at something too. So it's in there and it's solvable. But this is the uniqueness of sports, and he's mastered a movement. And it's certainly not that far from being there. And it's not like it's totally disappeared. It just needs to be there, you know, more consistently. And you work at it, you repeat it. You think about it, you practice it. And that's how you get back there.
Once upon a time in this town, about Dexter Fowler, the phrase was, you know, you go, we go. And it was about him as the leadoff hitter. And I know Nico leads off for you sometimes. But Jameson Taillon said that about Nico Horner recently. I know you said on this show and many other places when he was struggling, he'll be fine. He's too good not to. And we all obviously agreed with that. And now he's hitting the cover off the ball. Is there something to that specifically with Nico's game in your mind? As he goes, so goes the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little cliche, frankly. You know, I mean, I think the leadoff hitter sometimes has a little bit of an outsized kind of how you feel about your offense, just because he's the guy you see the most, and he's the guy that starts the game. But, you know, offenses work because they have a lot of tough outs in them. They have a lot of guys who don't make outs or who hit the ball over the fence or are really tough to whatever it is, you know, have good offensive traits. And baseball, you know, one player can never be the sole guy to do it. It's really difficult. So, you know, we're going to score runs when we get contributions from a lot of different guys. And I think overall it's a strength of this offense, is that we have gotten contributions from a bunch of different guys at different times in the year.
You know, Nico told us about the switch or the swing decision matrix or whatever he called it, the swing decision data to look at to really kind of dissect what his swing choices are. And then he goes out and has a big hit on the third highest ball that a Cub has ever hit since 2015. He fouls one off. It's like a foot off the inside of the plate. He's got a little Kirby Puckett or Vlad Guerrero Sr. in terms of just C-ball hit ball in it, doesn't he? Is that something you want to allow in him, even as he's trying to make better choices?
Yeah, I mean, Nico's great trait is that he has an ability to make contact with pitches. And so that sometimes means, you know, pitches out of the zone, right? I think Nico's goal still is always going to be like, don't swing at those pitches out of the zone. That's the every hitter's goal, right? Because it's a ball. But he does have an ability to make contact, and that's you get rewarded for that. That's a good trait as well. So, you know, it's not something you don't want to take away one, but of course, Nico's still trying not to swing at balls. I think he would tell you that for sure.
So Matt Mervis hit .167 in 27 games last year. But, boy, he's looked better than that, at, you know, obviously in the minors and just in general. He seems like a good hitter. What do you hope is different for him this time around?
Yeah, I mean, Matt had a big league call-up. It didn't go well. You learn from that experience. You continue to get better. He's performed again in AAA. And, you know, this is his next opportunity. Now, is it going to be a full-year opportunity? Probably not. You know, probably at some point, if we can get healthy, that we'd run out of space. But, you know, right now, Matt was the selection to kind of give us some little more balance from a left-handed hitter standpoint. He's going to get an opportunity and to help the club win some games over the next couple of weeks.
Does Pete being here affect how long Matt might be able to stay?
I would say no.
Okay. So maybe Matt gets a look at first.
I mean, Pete and Matt here are here, you know, essentially because we've got some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where they're. I was actually curious about Pete, like, because to Spieg's point too, like, didn't have the greatest debut last year, crazy talented, matters a ton to the organization. And you said, you know, you're not going to play him every day. It's not about development. It's about winning. So what do you see in him? Like, where is his value to the team right now, other than just he's here because of injury?
Well, there's no question, like, Pete's a very talented defender. And it always feels like that, you know, they say defense doesn't go in slumps.
Right.
Speed doesn't go in slumps. You know, things like those are traits that kind of give players great floors, I say. And so, you know, we're putting a good, if, you know, when Pete's in the lineup, we know we're getting a good defender. And that's an important part of it. And that's going to help you win games.
So many different closer profiles in our past baseball lives, Craig, whether it's Trevor Hoffman in a changeup or Doug Jones going back longer, whatever. Like, could it even be an option in the league right now to have somebody who throws off speed, or do you have to find, you know, that great dominant swing and miss with velocity to be a closer in the modern game?
You got to get people out. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, then the pitchers who are really good at getting guys out, however they do it, are the guys that end up at the back of the game. So, you know, it's as simple as that. There's pitchers kind of solve the getting hit or out problem, like, in a lot of different ways. And it's based on kind of what they're good at and what their pitch characteristics are. And, you know, I think certainly we're in an age where velocity is, you know, taking a jump and is king, and vast majority of the guys you're going to see back there are very hard throwers. But it's not always the case. Kenley Jansen's closing games. He's not throwing, you know, he's a 90 throwing 92, 93 at this point. So it's not every single closer, but it's certainly the most of them.
Wondering when or if Adbert gets another shot at doing that down the road here.
Well, it's just getting people out. You know, we need Adbert to get hitters out, and how we get 27 outs. If Adbert gets outs in the three outs in the seventh or three outs in the ninth, like, to me, it's just, he got three outs for us in that 27. I think our goal is to, you know, we want Adbert to have confidence. And I think, you know, there's nothing really bad has happened. He's given up some badly timed home runs that have, you know, that make you feel real bad, but he's still not pitching really poorly. But it does shake your confidence. It shakes your confidence, no question. And we do have to do some work to get that back.
Craig, have you ever seen a manager get tossed for not saying a word, like what happened to Aaron Boone?
I mean, no, I haven't. I mean, I think there was clearly a mistake made there, which happens.
Yeah, that I'm always advocating for more crowd mics and more stuff like that for the fans. But I was like, oof, that one was that might have been a downside for some crowd mics and some live shots.
Yeah, that's unfortunate at that point in the game. And feels like maybe that should be something that's reversible, or could we change our mind on that one.
Have you ever thought to yourself, trust tree here, have you ever thought to yourself, you know what, I ought to get thrown out tonight. Spark my team. You ever done that move, Craig?
No. No. Okay.
All right.
No.
All right,
not before the game.
Sure.
Fourth, fifth inning, maybe? Like, I don't want to watch the rest of this, perhaps. I want to go to the dog track. That's what they say Don Zimmer used to do. He wanted to go to the dog track. Might as well get thrown out, you know? Craig, it's an interesting thing to have all these people playing for you. Do any of them need you to see an angry side of you?
No, we're around each other every single day. Certainly my job is to help them and to put the organization in a good spot. But you got to do it being yourself. And if that means angry, that means angry, you know, whatever that means, but you got to do it being yourself.
All right. Well, we'll send video of you of Spiegs playing bags so that you can share it with Kyle Hendricks. And
yeah, I know you're not a pitching guy or a bags mechanics guy, but I still think your input would be excellent.
Yeah. But sure.
We could have Tommy Hotovy break down the mechanics, maybe.
I sent Jed the video of me when I threw out the first pitch at Wrigley.
Have you seen that, Craig? That's a doozy.
He said, I've seen more elbow flexibility in literally everyone else in his life. So. If you want,
I don't know how you might be a world-class bags player. I'm not sure what I'm getting into here.
All right, Craig, we apologize for the nonsense. We will talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you, sir.
All right, you got it. See ya.
Thanks, you.
Craig.
That's Craig Counsell, manager of the Cubs.
Woof.
And
a fractured rib for Cody Bellinger is your lead there, folks. And Pete Crow Armstrong is here.
Yeah, that would be the news that came out of that for sure. Man, this team. Like, he is so process-based and serious and next game and all of that, that of course he is going to, you know, not say that they're snake bit and, you know, the resiliency thing and all of that, sure, because he has no choice.
He's got to stay level.
But, yeah, right, and that's a trait of his. That's like it's something that everyone's talked about with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, man. Just think about who we're talking about.
Talking about Steele and Saya and Bellinger. That's 1, 2, and 3.
Steele on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Saya, your $100 million guy who's been was your best offensive hitter. And Bellinger, your most expensive average annual value player who's top 10 MVP guy.
Yep.
And Hendricks, crazy struggles, Merriweather injury. And to still be...
And you don't have a closer.
Right, and
you don't
four blown saves by Adbert
Alzolay. Hector Neris has been marginal.
And they're still 14-9.
It's remarkable.
It is a crazy thing.
If they get through these first 2 months and find themselves at 500 with all of these injuries and everything, then Cub fans should actually still feel pretty darn good about things. 60 games, they're still around 500. You should still feel pretty good. You keep going to the resiliency thing, and you're right in terms of what you see and what they have to believe about themselves. And I don't know that anyone will give you the clean yes that you might want. But
I thought Nico's answer on it actually on Tuesday was really interesting.
Yeah, Nico talked about everything they went through last year together.
Yeah,
same batch of people,
and that it's the same batch of people that they went through a ton at the end of last year.
They sure did.
It didn't go very well in the ultimate results, but that same group of people largely is back, and therefore that might help them weather the storm this time. Like that, without completely signing off on my theory, and Craig is obviously not the type of person who is going to take credit for that. We know him well enough to know that, but he's steady. Everybody says that about him. So there's something there. With this makeup, I don't know how much credit he gets, how much credit the continuity gets, how much credit just the nature of the sport gets. But there is something to what I will call resiliency. If you want to put it on a different word, we can talk about it. But there's something to this team being 14-9.
This becomes a new daily thing to look at every single pregame. Is Pete Crow Armstrong in the lineup? He just said he just wants his best nine out there. How often will that be Pete playing center field, either hitting at the top or hitting at the bottom as a secondary leadoff guy with speed? It's going to be very interesting to watch how this is going to play out.
Well, We got a big day today, and it just got bigger with the news, but it is the final polls position, which means it's time for a mock draft. Last time Ice Cube came on, we'll see what Shane has as a surprise for the Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, and Falcons. We're picking for the Bears. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Well, it is draft day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.